The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, brought to you by Alum Creek RV and Marine, and also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me here today on Sunny 95. I really appreciate it. We're going to have a great show today. We have a couple guests in the studio with us. Today we're talking about forensic dentistry and how folks are identified through their dental records and how mysteries are solved through their dental records. We have with us Dr. Dan Jolly. We also have Dr. Jen Gorniak. Dan is spelled different in both instances. I just realized the similarity there. Dr. Gorniak is a Franklin County coroner. She was born and raised in Bronx, New York, attended Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine in Erie, Pennsylvania. After completing a traditional internship, Dr. Gorniak trained in anatomic pathology at the University Hospitals in Cleveland and forensic pathology at the Cuyahoga County Coroner's Office. Dr. Gorniak is certified by the American Board of Pathology in anatomic pathology and forensic pathology. She serves as a deputy coroner and forensic pathologist for Franklin County and has done so from July 2005 until January of 2008. She is a member of the College of American Pathologists, the National Association of Medical Examiners, the International Association of Coroners and Medical Examiners, and the American Academy of Forensic Sciences. Dr. Gorniak is also a registered death investigator through the American Board of Medico-Legal Death Investigators. In November of 2008, Dr. Gorniak was selected to the position of Franklin County Coroner. She is the county's first full-time forensic pathologist coroner. Dr. Gorniak also serves as a forensic pathologist, still performing autopsies in addition to her administrative duties. Dr. Gorniak, thank you for being on the show today.
Good morning. Thank you.
And I want to introduce then our other guest, Dr. Jolly. Dr. Jolly graduated from dental school at the University of Missouri, Kansas City in 1977 and completed the general practice hospital dental residency at the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Leavenworth, Kansas in June of 78. Although he practices general dentistry, he is also a specialist and board certified by the American Board of Special Care Dentistry in the fields of medical dentistry, hospital dentistry, geriatric dentistry, and dental care for people with disabilities and handicaps. Dr. Jolly is also a forensic dentist, otherwise known as a forensic odontologist. He is the chief forensic odontologist for the Franklin County Coroner's Office in Columbus, Ohio, and has served in the capacity since prior to 2000. As a forensic dentist, he serves on the core team of the Ohio Dental Association's Forensic Dental and Emergency Response Team. Dr. Jolly, along with the entire Ohio Dental Association's core team of forensic dentists, serves as part of the dental ID team for the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner of the City of New York following the events of September 11, 2001 for the victims of the World Trade Center. His additional disaster experience as a forensic dentist dates back to the collapse of the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Kansas City in 1981. Forensic dentistry encompasses also the field of medical legal standard of care matters. For over 30 years, Dr. Jolly has and continues to provide expert witness services for law firms, both plaintiff and defense, in civil malpractice actions, as well as the Ohio State Dental Board, the Attorney General of Ohio, and the United States Attorney's Office. The field of forensic dentistry also covers matters of child, adult, spousal, and elder abuse and neglect, including homicide cases. Analysis of bite marks is a component of this part of the field. Dr. Jolly served as the primary dentist in the 1980s for a shelter of hundreds of abused and neglected children operated by the Salvation Army in Kansas City. Dr. Jolly is a full member of the American Academy of Forensic Scientists Odontology section and a member of the American Society of Forensic Odontology. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jolly.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's really nice to have both of you. This is, I can't believe, this is my 250th episode, and I can't believe that we haven't covered this yet. Now, when I first started doing this show, I have to tell you, there were people that thought I'd be on the air for about 4 weeks and then run out of things to talk about. Those are people that don't know me. And of course, they don't know dentistry all that well because it's just an amazing field. Just so many different things that we are into, whether it's a you know, prosthodontics, regular restorations, oral prevention of dental health in general. But dental forensics are something that are, it's just really, really cool. And I can't believe it took me this long to put this show together, but I'm happy that you're both here.
Thank you.
I want to start with, if for no other reason than to maybe unfortunately be identified in an accident of some kind, whether it be a plane crash, an automobile accident, just walking into the woods and never coming back, people should have dental records. Would you agree? I mean, if you've never been to a dentist, it's a little bit hard to identify who you have just located in the woods.
Yes, any identification is going to depend on records, whether they're fingerprints, DNA, dental, and knowing the dental record source, knowing the dentist, having been to the dentist, that sort of thing is crucial, yes.
So a positive ID after death is so important, more than I think people realize, because it means the survivor's Social Security benefits, say for a spouse, benefits for underage children of the deceased, life insurance, all kinds of things are dependent upon a positive ID, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And for us also, obviously, at the coroner's office, we cannot release somebody to their family without them being positively ID'd one way or another.
Wow. So I didn't know that.
It's important not only for, you're talking about the aftercare and the benefits, but just to reunite people with their loved ones is our number one priority.
Wow. A follow-up. How long has there been a case of where somebody couldn't get the remains of what they knew was their loved one, but there was no, you weren't allowed to release until you had the positive ID?
It could be.
Can it be years? Months? Not
a couple of months, depending on which route that we go on. But you have to remember is with dentist and the comparison, you have to have a tentative ID in order to get those antemortem records.
Right.
So sometimes people come to the coroner's office, unfortunately, with no ID. They're truly John Doe's, Jane Doe's. So we have to go about trying to identify them a different way just to get a tentative ID
okay.
and then confirm it either with the dental records or fingerprints.
And this might be a person who otherwise would have carried ID, but they were found naked in the woods. So they don't have their wallet. They don't have their purse, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
There is a, it's hard to use it. The FBI, the National Crime Information Center, maintains a database, one for missing persons, one for unidentified persons. And we do feed dental information by certain coding factors to them. So if a friend of yours went missing, wasn't seen for a period of time, one could, in theory, submit their dental records to the FBI's NCIC office. And if a body was found they couldn't identify and those records were submitted to the FBI's NCIC office, one might be able to make a match. It's not nearly so easy as a fingerprint match or a DNA, and it's I don't know what the numbers are in terms of percentage of matches, but they're really, really pretty low. But that is one way to do that. You do need to have, obviously, some records to compare to. And from a dental standpoint, it would be nice to know that this potential individual went to, you know, Dr. Kvitko.
Right.
And Dr. Kvitko has x-rays that we could obtain and make the comparison.
Okay. Now, every once in a while in the Journal of the American Dental Association, we will see a set of x-rays. We will see a little listing that says, do you know this person? Can you identify this person? And we're supposed to try to match up what we have in our database. And I don't know that people realize how much work goes on behind the scenes to try to make this match, to get them back to their loved ones. But if you've never been to a dentist and therefore you never have had a set of dental x-rays, it can be really, really tricky. Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And just to clarify, when we're talking about identifying people, we're really talking about people who have, due to trauma, i.e. a fire or car crash or decomposing in the woods,
right,
where there is no facial features left. Because obviously when we go to identify people, we want to use the most basic
right
means.
That's my mom kind of a thing. Somebody walks in and says, I recognize.
Exactly.
You.
So yeah. When we're talking about the instances when we have to use Dr. Jolly and his associates is when someone is not identifiable by visual.
Okay. That would be badly burned.
Correct.
There's an interesting case kind of along that same line that the skeleton was found in Groveport back in 2002. Quite a lot of dental treatment had been done, crowns and that sort of thing, and we did the records for this individual. The anthropologist determined it was a female as well. And those records ultimately went to the FBI's NCIC office. And I believe after about a year, the individual was buried. But there was an artistic facial reconstruction done.
Based on standard tissue depths?
Right. Okay. And that was put on websites. Eventually, the daughter recognized, in perusing various websites, saw the drawing, recognized it could be her mother, came to the Franklin County Coroner's Office, and you know, that process led to an old dentist, old records from New York. They were adequate enough for me to make the positive ID, and therefore, after about 2 years, she was finally returned to her family. So it can be a combination of different things. The facial reconstruction, probably earliest popularity of that public knowledge was the movie Gorky Park.
I'm not familiar with that. What year was that movie?
Oh, it goes back to the 70s. But it's a very, very useful tool, reconstruction and artistic.
Interesting. Yeah. And so they had to be exhumed then because they had been temporarily buried, and then they were
she was returned to her family. Very, very good outcome.
And that's one thing. Also, when we have someone who is unidentified, we actually will work diligently and effortlessly for a year, and then we will bury them.
Okay, so 1 year.
Right, so, and then we will bury them that way. We won't cremate a person, so when family does, you know, or we're able to identify family, that we were able to give them back their loved ones.
Okay, yeah, because there's so many things counting or dependent upon that.
Correct.
In the case of a homicide, obviously a positive ID is required. It's the first step in allowing law enforcement officials to begin that process of searching for a murderer, and it's your job to figure out if this person was murdered or they just wandered off into the woods and died of natural causes. I don't know that people realize how much that affects life insurance, anywhere from inheritance that they may have. How far into the process are you able to figure out, is this, because you have to turn it over to police authorities if it's a murder. How quickly are you able to tell, you know, in most instances, if this is something that needs to also involve the police, which I think they're involved anyway when a body is found, but where the police can then start the process of going after the perpetrator?
Correct. Yes, we get notified of a death by the police.
Okay.
Based on the circumstances, whether it looks like a homicide, a suicide. Sometimes we have no clue what it is.
Okay.
So autopsies in that instance really, really helps. One thing to remember that at the coroner's office, we use the term homicide,
yes,
which our definition is death at the hands of another.
Okay.
Which is different than the legal term that the police and prosecutor use as murder.
I see.
So we might call something a homicide, and they're not prosecuting anybody or charging anybody.
Got it. I might have accidentally pushed them off the edge. Didn't know the edge was so close, and we kind of bumped. Maybe we were roughhousing and they fell off the edge. That, in your book, would be different than the police officer's definition. That might
correct,
be murder, as
right,
far as
depending
that
on the, because we investigate death, law enforcement investigates crime.
Got it.
So in our office, our main concern is determining the cause of death and manner of death of the decedent, and it's the police's job to determine whether a crime was committed. But you're absolutely right. In order to get justice for this person, this victim, if it is a homicide, we have to be able to identify them, and then also, once again, notify their family and let the justice system work its course.
Because you guys and your staffs are the only ones speaking for the dead at this point.
Absolutely.
That's
our job. And we have a saying in forensics, to the living we owe respect, to the dead we owe the truth.
That's really neat. That's really neat. Hey, it's time for us to go to a break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
At Artisan Dance Studio, come discover that when it comes to dancing, our specialty is to create and educate. The Artisan approach provides you an experience from the moment you walk through our doors. Artisan Dance Studio's wide variety of classes, from ballet, contemporary, tap, jazz, and much more. We offer adult classes too. Artisan Dance Studio is located at 4310 North High Street in Clintonville. Visit artisandancestudio.com for upcoming events and class schedules. Accepting new students throughout the fall.
Mom, has your son or daughter been begging you to learn to play guitar, but you don't know where to go or who to talk to? Well, fret no more. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 427-3187. We'll teach your child how to actually apply and use the fundamentals, learn to play an entire song, make new friends with guitar, and even play with a drummer, all in the first month of playing. The earlier they start, the better. So don't wait. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 614-427-3187 or check us out online at guitarlessonscolumbus.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go or if you could afford it? Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko Mentness & Associates, we've been doing successful smile makeovers for decades. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, we've made them affordable. Whether you choose the low monthly payments or having your makeover done in phases to spread your cost over time, I know you'll be happy with your new smile. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that's guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita, Sunny 95.
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Here in the studio with me is Dr. Jan Gorniak. She is the Franklin County Coroner, as well as Dr. Dan Jolly, who is a forensic dentist, forensic odontologist. We're trying to make sure that everybody knows what those terms are. And we're talking about how many folks are identified through dental records. I think we've all known that, but I don't know that we really get to talk much about the ins and outs of how that happens and how important it is because, for example, life insurance can't be disseminated to the family unless there's a positive ID. And there are all of these circumstances that sometimes prevent us from knowing who you actually have in the morgue. One of the things you were mentioning is that after about a year, a body would be buried and, you know, And we would hope then that more information would come out. Now, about 15 years ago, I might be wrong on that, the State Dental Board mandated that all dentures and partial dentures be marked with the patient's name. And while people can opt out of this, most don't. So how helpful has that been in your efforts to positively ID victims?
We do look.
You do look?
We do check. But unfortunately, and I don't want to...
It hasn't been as good as they'd hoped.
...anybody out, but that's not a... We can't confirm... that saying that that's who the person is because
okay.
I don't know if those were their dentures.
Right. They could be, somebody could have planted them.
Right.
Or, it could be part of a crime. You plant them and, okay.
Right. Correct. So that would help us as when I was talking earlier about a tentative ID.
Okay.
So if someone is a Jane Doe or John Doe and we have these dentures with a name in it or implants with a name in it, then it becomes a tentative and then we can work that angle based on that tentative ID.
And I know that the patients themselves are allowed to opt out of that plan. We have to give them an option. Do you want your prosthesis, your denture, your partial marked or not? And they can say no. And I'm not sure why you would, but they can. We always put it on the inside where you can't see it. It can be covered by the tongue or up on the roof of the mouth, but they do not have to agree to that. We just have to ask. You didn't know that.
They did not know that.
Yeah. Maybe we need to change that.
Absolutely.
I do it routinely with all my patients, whether...
I do it too, but I still ask because I'm supposed to. Okay. Now, I have a patient family whose adopted daughter ran away with her biological father, meaning ran back to the state that she was from, probably on a promise that life will be better. And well, they knew where she was and they assumed she was safe. They asked me to provide her dental records to the police. And just like any other missing person case. So it was kind of very traumatic for the adoptive parents. Can't imagine how traumatic it would be for loved ones of a missing person who just plain disappeared without a trace. At least they knew where she was. They weren't in contact with her and she wasn't with them, but they knew. And how do you deal with these worried families? Because in most cases, the families that you are trying to help, they don't know. They don't know where their loved one is. They don't know if they're alive or dead. They don't know. What do you do?
Well, like I said, if we have a tentative ID, we work closely with the families. It is difficult to ask for dental records. I mean, it's even difficult when we, for example, a child may have died in a fire and are not identifiable. We know who it is, but we, once again, they're not positively ID visually, so we have to go another means, even asking for that from the family.
Is for the dental records?
For the dental records, because then that the family now knows that my loved one, my child, is not identifiable. We have to ID them through dental. So that's traumatic, even when we do, you know technically who it is. Very, very rare do we have, like I said, people who are totally unidentifiable for that long period of time.
Okay.
But anytime we're talking to a family about a missing loved one or trying to get them ID, it's very difficult and traumatic for all of us involved.
By the way, if you have specific questions for Dr. Jan Gorniak, who is the Franklin County coroner, and also for Dr. Dan Jolly, who is a forensic dentist, feel free to give us a call, 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. And we'll be happy to get you on the air. It seems that dental records, now maybe just because I'm a dentist, but dental records seem to be one of the most important pieces of that forensic puzzle. And to me, it's because our teeth and gums are the most important part of our bodies. Okay, I'm going to throw that out there as a dentist. let's face it, your smile affects everything we do. It affects every laugh, every chew, every word, every kiss. Are you familiar with the case of where Tutankhamun's aunt, I think it was Hatshepsut, mummy was identified by way of a broken upright molar? Anybody, have you seen that story?
I did not.
No?
I've heard the
story.
You've heard the story? I can't tell any details about it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because she was missing the right half of her upper right molar. And when they, I think it was every so many years, they'll allow those mummies to be radiographed, scanned again. And in the same kind of disheveled box was a wooden box full of pine tar or something. Couldn't get in it, but of course they x-rayed it. And in it, they found the other half of this broken molar. It was actually upper right first molar. And so in this case, it was sealed and no one would have been able to tell. That kind of identification that we would use on somebody like Tutankhamun's aunt, is that the same thing that you guys will go through, the steps you'll go through to try to, I mean, let's face it, one of the questions I have here is somebody who falls and their parachute doesn't open, that's happened. And my understanding is unless they're wearing a dog tag, there's not a lot to go on. So how do you guys identify folks where there's very little to go on?
Well, I'll go back to our work at New York City after 9/11, and there were obviously in some cases whole bodies to work with, in other cases fragments, in other cases just a few teeth. Same thing happens with airplane accidents, and it does become a challenge. We do need to have some accurate records, and sometimes we can't always make the comparison. Sometimes teeth are missing. When we do make dental comparisons, we do more than just teeth. And certainly fillings are very helpful to us because they're very unique. We'll look at roots, shapes of roots, the nerve chambers of the teeth. We'll look at sinuses. We'll look at bony patterns. We can look at things like somebody's bite. If you were to have models like from an orthodontist,
right,
things like that might be useful. When we get dental records, we want not just x-rays, and we want the original x-rays or the original digital x-rays, original film x-rays, not copies. And you can't fax that material, okay? It doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want the records, the charts, the notes, because an x-ray may show one thing and then a procedure was done to change, and an x-ray wasn't taken afterwards. And that can be very, very helpful. I had a case, very frustrating one actually, earlier this year, a young child, and had the dental records, and the dentist had noted that I believe it was he had done a filling on a certain tooth, and looking at the victim, there was
no filling on that tooth.
No sign that there had been an attempt to place a filling, you know, hole drilled or anything like that. Okay. Everything else seemed to match, including the age, and we look at age issues with young people, children, from the tooth development aspect, and I could not sign that out. I could not make the ID because there was a discrepancy, and I've done some cases with both the Ohio Attorney General, the Dental Board, and the U.S. Attorney's Office up in Cleveland on fraud kind of thing where the dentist said they did one thing and they didn't do another. There was a case in New York City after 9/11 where we had a body, and the dentist, in getting the records, had billed for a bunch of crowns, a bunch of dental treatment,
right,
like on September 12th.
But hadn't done it yet.
No, the victim had died on September 11th.
Wow.
In the collapse of the World Trade Center. And the dentist, and I don't think that dentist is practicing, obviously, anymore.
I was going to say, yeah, that's actually very sad.
And the case of the child that he's talking about, obviously documentation is very important. We would have loved to be able to identify this young child through the dental records, but then we had to, once again, we asked the family for the dental records, traumatic enough, and then say, sir, we couldn't identify your child through that means, and then we had to use the teeth and go for the DNA route.
Wow. Okay.
We've taken teeth out and matched with DNA, and there's some value.
Is that about a 6-month process, though, to do that?
It took, depending on where we send it,
yes.
In this particular case, it took about six to seven weeks.
Oh, only 6 weeks. Okay. But still, the delays have to be heart-wrenching for the families.
Especially, like I said, when we know who that is, but it's not confirmed.
It was terribly frustrating to me because the dental records didn't match. I felt very comfortable that is who the victim was.
Right.
But there was a discrepancy that the dentist said he did something and no evidence that it was done. And that is an obvious throw it out impossibility case.
Right.
And we appreciated Dr. Jolly and his efforts, but at the same time, at the end of the day, said, sorry, Dr. Corney, I can't confirm ID through this method.
Right.
You know, so we appreciated the fact that he was able to say, no, I can't do it this way.
Okay. How do we get the word out to dentists around the country that you're looking for a dental records match? And how does that process begin? I know I see it in the Journal of the American Dental Association on occasion, but who initiates that? Is it someone in your office, Dr. Korniak, or?
Yes. Depending on the case, if usually it would be an investigator, a death investigator from my office that would have been at the scene and would be in contact with the family member. And then when we get a name of a dentist, we send them a request or a subpoena, depending on which one they prefer, and we can get the records. People also are concerned with HIPAA.
Right.
But to let everybody know that HIPAA dies with you. So there is no HIPAA after you have passed.
Oh, good. That's good
to
know.
When we ask for the record, and according to Ohio Vice Code also, you're supposed to cooperate with law enforcement, funeral homes, and the coroner's office.
So for the dentists and dental students listening, HIPAA dies when the patient dies, and we shouldn't maybe be an impediment to finding this person's name, identity, so the loved ones can move forward.
That is correct.
Yeah. It seems like that in years gone by, cause of death was oftentimes something as simple as a tooth infection, just caused by an abscess. And especially when you look at history, you look at mummies and things like that. These days, you don't really have that happening very often, although we did have the case of DeMonte Driver in 2007, who died of a dental infection. But what you're finding is people who have had some traumatic event. Let's put it this way. Have you ever had to investigate a case where somebody died of a dental infection that then involved like a dentist saying, why didn't you catch this? Well, how did this person die in the year 2012 of a dental infection?
As a dentist, I never had that. I don't know about Dr. Korniak.
I've never had that. But also, that would not be a case that we would investigate.
Okay.
That would be end up being a natural.
They would know what cause of death.
Right.
The time
so that
of
would
death.
Probably be done, you know, with a hospital pathologist or at the hospital side. That would not fall under the jurisdiction of the coroner.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't say it has not happened.
I've seen 5 or 6 cases in my career where dental infections have led to death. Yes.
Yeah. The one was DeMonte Driver, 2007, I believe it was. Young boy whose mom didn't take him to the dentist in time, and by the time he got there, it was so severe, even though they did, it had spread to his brain.
That was part of what I did in Kansas City for almost a decade, and working with a shelter for abused and neglected children, and that was looking at issues of neglect, which becomes abuse,
mm-hmm.
which becomes potentially criminal action against parents or caregivers as well. And the same thing would apply in nursing homes and for the elderly.
Really?
People with disabilities, yes.
Okay. All right, I have many, many more questions, but we have to go to a break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking. Oh, you know what? We have to talk about Dr. Kovitko's question of the day before we do that. I just realized that. So what we like to do each week is we give folks a question, and they can call in, and they can win free flowers from Vice Number Florist. And this week's question, it's always poignant compared to who we're speaking with. So I want to mention that, and we'll give out the question, the winner receives free flowers from Vice Number Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. Another caller is going to win a free propane tank refill from Allen Creek RV and Marine. When I give the question, you'll be calling 459-9769 or 459-WSNY with your guess or your answer. But before we do that, we have to ask you to please listen to this.
Sunny 95 will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. Sunny 95 cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
And the question of the day is, how are dental records created for a victim in the morgue? Is it A, a visual dental exam done with decayed, missing and filled teeth? B, a set of traditional dental x-rays are taken of the person's teeth? Or C, all of the above? All right, the winner is going to receive free flowers from Vice Denver Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon, and another caller will receive a free propane tank refill from Alum Creek RV and Marine. And so it's time to go ahead and call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita, Sunday 95.
Thinking about winterizing your boat or RV? Why not deal with the experts at Alum Creek RV and Marine? Check out their early bird winterizing special for boats and RVs. Until October 15th, save 15%. RV winterizing starting at $89.95, and that's despite the fact that antifreeze costs are up 22% from last year. Alum Creek RV and Marine can shrink wrap your boats to keep the dirt and weather outside and the beauty of your boat protected inside. Alum Creek RV and Marine. One exit north of Polaris off I-71 at Route 37. Call 800-336-4068 or hit the net at alumcreekrvandmarine.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are you an adult with teeth that are crooked? Maybe you had braces as a kid, but you didn't wear your retainer as often as you should have? Or maybe your parents weren't able to offer you braces as a child. Well, take heart. Now you can have straight teeth in 6 months. That's right. Using clear brackets and tooth-colored wires, we can straighten your teeth before it's even time for your next cleaning. So, if you have a high school reunion, a graduation party, or even a wedding in your future, why not let us straighten, then whiten your teeth? Interested? Call us to schedule a no-charge 6-month smiles consultation at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko.
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We're here with Dr. Jan Gorniak and Dr. Dan Jolly. And they're from, Dr. Gorniak is the Franklin County Coroner. Dr. Dan Jolly is a forensic dentist. He has taught at the University, Ohio State University for several years and recently became, not necessarily retired, what do they call it, where you still have an office, but you don't have a lot of the same responsibility.
I changed careers. I left academics after 30 years and joined with Immedia Dent.
Oh, okay.
Which is a general dentistry practice.
Oh, cool.
We've got 20 offices in a couple of different states, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, and we're open 7 days a week, 9 p.m. So.
Yeah, you don't even look that tired. You've been up all night working on
dentistry. I worked yesterday until late, so.
Okay, so we have a couple callers on the line. We have Susan on line one, Michelle on line two, and since we have two prizes to give, you're both winners, so please don't hang up. And let me just restate the question. The question was, how are dental records created for a victim in the morgue? A, a visual dental exam is done and with decayed, missing, and filled teeth. And B, a set of traditional dental x-rays are taken. Or C, all of the above. So, Susan. Hey, Susan. How are you?
Good.
Good. What's your guess?
All of the above.
All of the above is correct. Susan, what do you do?
I'm a technical specialist.
Technical specialist. Okay. That sounds too technical for me at this time of the morning, so I don't think I'll ask you what that means. But hey, if you'll hang on. Go ahead. What were you saying?
A technical writer.
Oh, a technical writer. Okay. Cool. So you hang on, and my producer's going to get your information, and we'll make sure that we get the flowers from Vice Number Floor sent over to you, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. And then Michelle? Hi, Michelle. Did you also have the correct answer?
Yes, I did. It's answer C.
Good, good. That's correct, too. And you're going to win the free propane tank refill from Alum Creek RV and Marine, okay?
Thank you so very much.
And thank you for listening. You'll be getting a coupon in the mail from me. Okay? So don't throw it away. It's not junk mail.
All right. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Okay. So now we have Dr. Jolly. We have Dr. Gorniak here in the studio, which I'm so, you know, pleased about because this is a cool topic, cool answers, cool questions. Now, the public hears all the time about people being identified through dental records, but I don't think they know how that process actually works. Can you guys explain it? I know, for example, that, you know, police might take a body out of the river and they bring it to your office, I assume, right, Dr. Gorniak? And then you have to create a set of dental records, which means, and I've actually assisted in this at one point at the dental school, but I'm going to let you guys tell the story because you're the experts, okay? So kind of tell me about the process. I mean, you have to bring an oral pathologist in, the whole thing.
Okay. Well, when we have a body that is unidentifiable, our routine is to x-ray them head to toe.
Oh, okay. So it's the bones, long bones, everything.
Everything. Because the process of identification, dental comparison is just one aspect of it. We also start by looking at, you know, the external, are there any scars, are there any tattoos? When we x-ray the bodies, we're looking for any projectiles that might be in the body that might have said this person was shot.
Right.
But we're also looking for any evidence of medical therapy. Did someone have a hip replacement, a knee replacement, a rod in their leg from a, you know, a fracture from years ago?
And I want to expand on that because those replacements oftentimes have markings on them. They have serial numbers, right?
Correct. And that's why we've pulled out many of knees and many of hips and looked up the numbers and called the manufacturers and we can, you know, connect it back to a name. But when we do those comparisons or we look at the x-rays and there's nothing. And at the end of the autopsy, there's no evidence of any surgeries or anything like that. Then we would have fingerprinted them. Some people don't have prints on file.
Right.
So then our next step would be the dental. And like I said, most importantly, these are tentative ID'd people. Because obviously it's a comparison.
Right.
So we don't know who they are. We don't know who to ask for a dentist if one even exists. So once we have determined that there was a dentist, we go about getting the x-rays and the records. And then we call Dr. Jolly.
Call Dr. Jolly. Okay, Jolly, take it from there.
Well, then certainly I show up at the coroner's office and we have our dental instrumentation, our dental x-rays. I'll do a good exam of the teeth, make sure I know what teeth are present, what kinds of fillings are on the teeth.
Whether it's tooth-colored, silver, gold, porcelain fused to metal.
And some of the tooth-colored fillings are hard to see sometimes. We do have some what we call alternate light sources, certain lights, a certain wavelength, some of the sort of thing you see in CSI, not quite
fluorescent,
fancy.
The fluorescent lights.
Basically, yeah. Yes. Okay. And that helps us identify some tooth-colored fillings. Anyway, we do a good examination and take x-rays. By that time, Dr. Gorniak's obtained the x-rays from who they feel, maybe the dentist or the individual that we're working with, and I'll get my x-rays, I'll get my charting, I'll compare that to the x-rays I get from the dentist and the notations that I get from the dentist, and make that comparison, and we'll go from there. There is no number or points or whatever you might say relative to a dental ID.
Okay.
Like you, in fingerprints, have a certain, you know, 8 or 10 or whatever it is, points of comparison to make a match. We don't have that in dentistry. I've made matches on the basis of one or two fillings or the basis of one or two teeth, tooth contours, individual shapes, those kinds of things, depending on the uniqueness of the finding.
So you can do this by DNA, but if you don't have to use the DNA, it's easier, it's cheaper, I assume, to do the dental exam. And you only use the DNA when you have to? Is that
well? At least with much? You know, DNA can take longer. If we have dental records, I can come up with a match within an hour or so. Quite frankly, which is you know, relatively quick. DNA does not work as quickly again as you see on CSI. It works quicker all the time. It's quicker than it used to be. But if I have dental records, I can do it within a matter of an hour or so. Yes.
Right. Okay. And then if we have to go the DNA route, we have to get, once again, something to compare it to, whether a toothbrush from the person or a hairbrush, or in the case of children, we need to get swabs, buccal swabs from a parent.
Okay.
And that entails, once again, bringing the family into the office. And so it is.
You try to avoid that, is what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Because it's unpleasant. They're already grieving.
Correct.
Okay. Try to make it as pleasant as possible in an unpleasant time.
Right. But, yeah. You know, in the case of the child that Dr. Jolly was speaking of before, the mom actually did come into the office and I did sit down and speak with her. So it's very important that we do explain the whole process, let people understand where we are and keep them updated so they're not waiting. There was a time when also a fire victim, I called the mom when we tentatively ID'd her son. And she was waiting for somebody to call her.
Oh, okay. She happy to get the phone call.
So she was because she didn't, people were at a loss on what to do also. So she was very appreciative that I did call and actually had a conversation and kept her informed of the process and what we were doing.
Okay. Well, that's good. So it must be a rewarding part of your job, as sad as your job is, knowing that you've reunited somebody with their loved one. Is that why you got into this? Is that?
Absolutely.
Yes. It's rewarding for you too, Dr. Jolly.
It's rewarding, and it's a challenge. It's a puzzle-solving kind of a process. But as Dr. Gorniak said earlier, we owe the truth to the people that we work with, and that's the most critical component, I think.
Okay, so it's kind of neat. I get to see the faces of the people that are watching out for all of you folks who may have an unfortunate episode. It's got to be rewarding when you go home at night that you have, whether it be helped put a perpetrator behind bars.
Yes.
Or helped somebody move on with their life, or helped somebody finally be able to obtain the life insurance money that is being held up until a positive ID and these people can't pay their bills because their breadwinner is dead, you know. We do have to go to another break. This is so cool. Maybe I can get you guys to come back another day because I don't think we're going to get it all in an hour.
Be happy to.
Okay, that would be great. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
您正在收听的是与口腔科医生 Kvitko 的对话，这里是您最喜欢的频道 Sunny 95。
Dentally Speaking is his talk show, Dr. Kvitko.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea,why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
At Artisan Dance Studio, come discover that when it comes to dancing, our specialty is to create and educate. The Artisan Approach provides you an experience from the moment you walk through our doors. Artisan Dance Studio's wide variety of classes from ballet, contemporary, tap, jazz, and much more. We offer adult classes too. Artisan Dance Studio is located at 4310 North High Street in Clintonville. Visit artisandancestudio.com for upcoming events and class schedules. Accepting new students throughout the fall.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Do you wear complete or partial dentures? Are you tired of having to take your teeth out at night? Or how about having to take them out at the doctor's office or in the hospital? Pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Heck, they've already taken away your clothes and then they take away your teeth too. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to having teeth that don't come out of your mouth? Well, you can. Here at Dr. Kvitko Metnis & Associates, we can place implants and cement fixed bridges on top to give you a smile that never comes out. You'll never look or feel toothless again. Think what that can do for your self-esteem. And you'll never have to worry about a metal clasp showing or your dentures falling out with a big sneeze. Interested? Give us a call at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko at aol.com.
You want to know how to make me smile? Take control on me just for the night. And if I share my secret, you're going to have to keep...
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. We are here with Dr. Jan Gorniak, who is the Franklin County Coroner, and Dr. Jan Jolly, who is a forensic dentist. Did I get that right, Dr. Jolly?
Yes, you got that right.
Okay. Now, we want to talk about bite marks, because bite marks can be very, very helpful. And a lot of times the victims, obviously, to fight back, they'll bite their attacker. And tell me the process once you discover, Dr. Gorniak, once you discover bite marks on somebody's hand or arm, how does that, I mean, I guess the police would be the ones to spot that, and then they would alert you?
Well, probably not.
No?
They might notice something on the body, but not know what it is.
Okay.
So when we are, the pathologists are doing the external examination, and we see something that resembles a bite mark.
Yes.
Then we have to preserve it, because there's you can get DNA out of it. There might be some saliva.
Right.
But we then will call in the forensic odontologist to do what they do with the bite mark. We don't want to do anything that's going to disrupt that process. So at that point, we would stop and let them come in and do their analysis of the bite mark, because that might, especially in children, because obviously
children bite.
No, adults bite children.
Oh, adults bite children.
So it could be, and it could be an abuse. But is it a child bite mark? Is it an adult bite mark?
Right.
Is it mom? Is it dad? Is it the babysitter? So that way, obviously, if a child is dead and we believe it's a homicide or a murder had been committed, no one's saying, oh, I did it. So we can use that to know, like, say the child was at home with both parents and a babysitter, or both parents and an adult or an older sibling.
Okay. And so you would ask for impressions of their teeth, those three folks, and see if any of them line up, right, Dr. Jolly?
Right. Bite marks are the most technically difficult of the areas that we deal with. Very challenging. I've had processes where, anyway, what we need to do is we get photographs. We get photographs with visible light, black and white, ultraviolet lights, infrared. We can look at tissue changes, both on the surface and below the surface, and that can be done even days or weeks after the original bite mark. When we have a potential suspect, then we can attempt to match from the models of the suspect, and a lot of this comparison is done on computer anymore, like with Adobe Photoshop kind of thing.
Yes.
What we're going to come up with in most cases is whether somebody is possibly the perpetrator, or whether somebody could not be the perpetrator. I had a case.
You can rule out, but you can't rule in sometimes?
Probably goes back about 10 years ago. It was a case of a 2-year-old. I'll just be very generic here in terms of where and what. It was a Central Ohio case. Child had been left with the boyfriend. Child had passed away and had been presumed just to have fallen off a high chair and hit her head and died of a concussion that way. It turned out that on autopsy, bite marks were found on the victim, and the only people with access to the victim were the boyfriend or the mother, who was not home at the time. I did the dental records examination on both boyfriend and mother, and they were radically different. A colleague out of Cincinnati came in and helped with this case and made the second opinion comparison as well, and the boyfriend from very unique dental patterns was the only one that could have made those bite marks and was convicted of the murder some year or so later. I think actually once he was presented with the evidence, he actually confessed to the murder.
That must be very rewarding then for you to be able to make that connection and know that you've created or provided some justice, even though the child is dead.
Right.
But there was some justice served.
Right.
Yeah. And this, your work kind of goes on unnoticed, and that must be a little bit frustrating, because you guys do so much good every day for families out there, and yet you're just kind of in your cocoon out there, aren't you?
It's what we do. I mean, I'm not in it for any kind of notoriety. It's something that I think needs to be done. I've learned how to do it. I've learned to enjoy the results of solving the puzzle, solving the problems, getting people reconnected to family, that sort of thing. So that's where it stands, purely and simply.
I have several more questions. I can see I'm not going to get to all of them, so we are going to invite you guys back, and we'll try to find schedules that work. But before we go to the break, I thought I would just bring up one more, because the TV shows. One that comes to mind is Bones, okay? And there's several. Okay. I think you mentioned some. You can mention some others if you like. And I know you're familiar with them. But this one particular show, she can't wait to remove all semblance of any tissue from these bones so that she can examine them. And it just kind of sounds counterintuitive to eliminate a lot of evidence. I understand that there are markings on bones themselves ahead of the process and stuff. So just tell me, is there any validity to stripping off all the soft tissue just to examine, to try to determine cause of death?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not for determining cause of death, but sometimes it is important when we do have a skeletonized remains, and the anthropologist, the forensic anthropologist, would use the bones to sex them, age them.
Okay.
So for them to do their job, sometimes we do have to, after the forensic pathologist has examined the remains, then they do have to deflesh all the bones in order to look at their markings that they need to be able to say, is this a male, a female, how tall they were, so they can get their markings. But for cause of death, no.
Okay.
But to determine, to get a profile of who they might be, yes.
So it makes good TV, but not something you guys are anxious to, you're not anxious to strip off all the flesh just so you can.
And it's very, and when I teach students too, because Bones is a popular show that, and people want to be forensic anthropologists, but it's not every day that we're finding skeletal remains out there. So it's very rare that we, in the past 3.5 years, as I was coroner, I've viewed the anthropologist one time, and that was not even on a skeleton.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Bones is an interesting show. We both know Kathy Reichs from the American Academy of Forensic Sciences, very reputable forensic anthropologist. Her books, which I read regularly, are very, very good, very accurate, and do include dentistry in every book. The show is a bit more Hollywood focused, shall we say.
Yes. Well, not to burst anybody's bubble, but I was pretty sure they weren't anxious to like boil all the flesh off so that you had just bones. But
right. But
people still watch the show, and it keeps people interested. It maybe makes people want to go into the field, so it serves a purpose as well.
Yes.
All right, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée on Sunny 95.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Mom, has your son or daughter been begging you to learn to play guitar, but you don't know where to go or who to talk to? Well, fret no more. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 427-3187. We'll teach your child how to actually apply and use the fundamentals, learn to play an entire song, make new friends with guitar, and even play with a drummer, all in the first month of playing. The earlier they start, the better. So don't wait. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 614-427-3187 or check us out online at guitarlessonscolumbus.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Have years of drinking coffee and tea or smoking darkened your teeth? Do you feel that you look older than your age? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset, when your smile would light up the room? With porcelain veneers, we can make your teeth sparkle again. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, our available low monthly payments make them affordable. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that is guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Yeah. And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We're here with Franklin County Coroner Dr. Jan Gorniak and Dr. Dan Jolly, who is a forensic odontologist, and among other things. But he's been very, very helpful, and it's a great show, and we do have an agreement that at some point we're going to have them back because I have many, many more questions, and we just don't have enough time. But I wanted to talk about dental implants. Dental implants, they don't have markings on them that would allow you to identify a person, do they? Are you aware of that?
There are certain shapes. Each brand would have a certain shape.
Yeah, we got the
and
shapes.
At one point, I'm not sure where this stands right now, inscribing a serial number.
Yeah, like an artificial hip or an artificial knee. We haven't done that for dental implants, and I'm wondering why, because I place implants, and I checked. I don't see any markings on them. You're right. There's different brands. You've got different shapes, root line, screw line. You've got, you know, Brandmark, and there's a whole bunch out there, but it seems like that would be a really simple thing, especially if it could be made to show up on an x-ray.
Well, it would be helpful. I know Dr. Gorniak does this on an artificial joint. You can trace the serial number on the joint through the manufacturer and who it was placed, you know, the person who was placed
in. Which physician placed it.
It would be nice from a dental standpoint if that could similarly be done. At this point in time, it's only been discussed. I don't know if there are any implants out there with serial numbers, dental implants with serial numbers.
Yeah, so we're kind of behind the times, aren't we, Doc?
But the thing is, though, when we look at implants, because they're well placed, we have to describe, you know, teeth, you know, where they're natural, in good repair, fair repair. And I just recently had one of my pathologists note that the teeth were natural and in good repair. And then the family, the wife called me to say he didn't have natural teeth. Those are implants. And I know because I'm still paying for them. So sometimes we don't even know that they're implants and we're calling them natural teeth.
Okay, because you haven't seen the x-rays yet.
Right. And we may not ever need them. So we might have called natural teeth without knowing that they were implants anyway.
I've seen that show up on medical examinations too.
Have you really?
In a hospital environment where the physician has said, oh, great teeth, and I'm seeing the patient for some other reason and actually have dentures or vice versa. Yeah.
You know, well-placed implant with a crown over it, you really can't tell because the gingival margin is just almost like natural. And
It can be challenging without x-rays, yes.
Yeah, you would almost would almost have to be a dentist to know the difference. All right, now, aging. It's important that we need to be able to identify folks as they age, and we need to, I mean, sometimes people wander off into the woods. What do we do for our loved ones who we don't want them to wander off? We want to know where they are, that they're safe. Is there anything we can do as relatives? I mean, is there an ID system that you're
There have been various ID systems, chips and wax bites that have been popularized over the past.
So something simple as a wax bite?
Potentially could be, and that's been used for children.
Okay.
And it has some value, but it's a short-term value. If that wax bite is not updated every 6 months or something of that nature, it certainly would change in a child. Years ago, there was a little microchip that could be bonded onto a tooth.
I used to do that. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Identa something.
Okay, I did some as
little
well.
Little disc, a little microfiche disc.
And they could be red if they lasted. It didn't get decayed off or brushed off or broken off or chewed off, or there's any number of reasons that was not as feasible. Like we chip our animals, and then it's a different situation.
Right.
How
this was
done.
Bonded to the outside of an upper right,
right.
molar. I've done those. I forget. What's the most difficult situation to determine the cause of death? Is it someone whose body's been submerged underwater? I would assume salt water is worse than fresh water. Is it because you have all these instances that you deal with? Somebody was submerged in a car. What's the toughest?
Believe it or not,
yes,
the toughest are the ones where it's an apparent natural disease.
Really?
And the person has never been to a doctor.
Okay, no records.
The gunshot wounds are the easy ones. You pull somebody out of the water, most likely you're drowning, a car crash. It's the ones where the body isn't telling us the complete story at autopsy. So therefore, we need to do toxicology. We need to look at sections underneath the microscope, and that's where the answer is. So those are those are the fun ones also, because they're the most challenging and you keep us on our toes.
Okay. Well, Dr. Gorniak, thank you so much for being on my show. Unfortunately, my time is up. Dr. Jolly, thank you for getting up and coming in. I really appreciate your input.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
And I'd love
to
have you guys back on at some point because we didn't even scratch the surface.
Just let us know.
Okay, that sounds great. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I'll see you next week.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.